And we want to take a moment now to linger over a story from last week. 6 U.S. soldiers killed by a suicide bomber in Afghanistan. A reminder that the war there is hardly over, even if the official NATO combat mission is. Also a reminder of our changing military and who's serving and dying for their country. Andrew Tillman is a senior writer for the Military Times. And Andrew, it's a somber topic. Each death is profound in its own way, but 3 of the 6 deaths in particular are a sign of changes in the military. 2 of those killed were National Guard, 1 an openly gay woman. So start there. Adriana Vorderbruggen, believed to be the first openly gay female active duty service member to die in combat.
Yes, Major Vorderbruggen was married in the Washington, D.C. area, and I believe that she and her wife had a son, and she did get a lot of attention this week. And I think that this is really a big deal, because if you think back about 5 years ago when the Don't Ask, Don't Tell law was being repealed, this particular piece of the issue was really important for a lot of people, the idea that partners and spouses of all service members should have access to the formal notification process and should have access to the formal ceremonies when casualties are returned through, usually through Dover Air Force Base, and access to all the support services that the other service members have access to. And I think that it really strikes a chord in a lot of people that 5 years later, and of course that transition has been incredibly smooth, but this kind of just closes the loop on it once again.
Well, and she also pushed to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And her death also came as the Pentagon decided to allow women in combat, and she illustrates that they already are. And she was a leader, just to, you know, her role was in a leadership position.
Yes, she was a mid-career officer in the Office of Special Investigations, which is the detectives division of the military police and the Air Force. So really, to be honest, it's kind of unusual for a major, a mid-career officer to be killed in combat. A lot of times casualties tend to be lower-ranking people.
And Well, and people have said this of her. She did not have to go out on the patrol she was out on, but she felt she should if she was sending her people out.
Yes.
So there's that. Killed along with her, 2 National Guardsmen, Technical Sergeant Joseph Lem, also a New York City police officer, and Staff Sergeant Louis Bonacassa. He was from Long Island, New York, so 2 New Yorkers. Lem on his 3rd tour with the Guard, Bonacassa on his 4th. Now, many people are aware that the Guard is no longer simply a domestic unit that serves in-country. But how striking were those 2 deaths to you?
I think it's become not very uncommon, actually, to see guardsmen and reservists among the casualty list. And I think that really highlights what's turning out to be one of the real lasting changes and legacies of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And that's when you look back to the 1970s when the draft ended and the all-volunteer force came to be, the reserve components were really a force of last resort. They were really only in the case of a World War III was there any realistic expectation that they were going to be called up and mobilized. But that very much changed after 2001. And it's now very common for reservists to just have to pencil into their planning a mobilization once every 5 years or so. And the military services plan for that. And even though you don't have a critical mass of troops in Iraq and Afghanistan anymore, like you did 6, 8, 10 years ago, that continues on. And the reserve component troops are very much integrated into the planning and the operations across the military.
Well, when I went down to Fort Sill for my niece's graduation for her first boot camp as a National Guardsman, as a high schooler, she was right next to people active duty who were being deployed in a week. She did her boot camp with active duty. I mean, these are not weekend warriors anymore.
No, they're not. And in fact, there's a real interesting debate going on inside the Pentagon about how to manage the reserve components in the long term and how ready they need to be. And I think that's going to be the way things are going to work at the Pentagon for some time.
Yeah. The other 3 killed, all young, 28-year-old Michael Cinco of Texas, 30-year-old Peter Taub of Pennsylvania, 30-year-old Chester McBride of Georgia, all were with the Air Force Office of Special Investigations. All being mourned by their friends and family. Peter Taub's family owns a popular restaurant in Washington, D.C. But just what does that mean, Office of Special Investigations, and what are their deaths? Tragic, a reminder of young people serving, but what do they say to you?
One of the things that I thought was noteworthy about this is that all six were from the Air Force and the Air Guard, and that's kind of different than what we would have seen 8 or 10 years ago when the vast majority of troops overseas were Army soldiers and Marines. Now, I think as these operations have evolved, you see the Air Force playing a more prominent role because of the need for airstrikes and drones and the maintenance and management of all of those. You see the Air Force has a much proportionally bigger footprint than it did some years ago. And I think these six deaths really highlight that.
Yeah. Andrew Tillman, senior writer for the Military Times. Andrew, thank you.
Thanks.